Hi, and welcome back, everybody. You're in for a big treat today. It's the Vox Pop. I'm Alan Shartok. Joining us on Medical Monday to answer your questions on orthopedic surgery, including minimally invasive spine surgery, is Dr. Zheng Shen of Mohawk Valley Orthopedics in Johnstown, New York, and Nathan Litauer Hospital. Dr. Shen joined the Litauer team in 2011, a graduate of Weill Cornell University Medical College in New York. He's completed his residency in orthopedic surgery at Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center in North Carolina, and a fellowship in spine surgery at University of California, San Francisco. This year, Dr. Shen presented at a conference in Brazil on his experience as an orthopedic surgeon in New York's Hudson Valley. This year, he completed 573 surgeries at Litauer, most of them using an incision of 5 centimeters. Dr. Shen, welcome to the Vox Pop, and all of you, and I tell you this right now, I've told you this before, if you have a bad back, if you want to talk to Dr. Shen, do it now. Not one phone is ringing. At the end, all 5 phones will be ringing, and you'll be left out in the cold. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, wamc.org. Tweet us at wamcvoxpop, A-O-R, no, Vox Pop, or check in on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC radio. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's on you. If you want to talk to Dr. Shen, that's fine. In the meantime, I'll do it because I have a bad back. Okay, so my first question to you is, what is minimally invasive surgery?
Thank you, Dr. Shattuck, for having me. First of all, I wish everybody a wonderful new year.
Great.
And minimally invasive surgery is a new trend in spine surgery. Compared to the traditional spine surgery, which we talk about open surgeries, the minimally invasive surgery always think about to do the same amount of surgery, but with minimal soft tissue disruption, because we more and more we realized it is the soft tissue and the muscles around the spine that are equally important in terms of spinal stability and function. The other advantage of minimally invasive surgery, less complication, much less infection, and quick recovery. Majority of my patient can start driving the next day.
No. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. We and over the last year, Dr. Shartok, you have said we have
Could you just do me one favor and call me Alan? Everybody does. Do you mind?
I will. Yeah.
Good, thanks.
Over the last year, we performed over close to 600 spine surgeries, but our complication rate is zero. We have zero infections, and majority of my patients go back to work very quickly. They have quick recovery. Minimally invasive spine surgery is still developing, but it involves smaller incision, no muscle or less soft tissue disruption, and sometimes we use an endoscope, which is a very small camera, 7 millimeters, to get down to the spine, and the video feed connected to a big high-definition TV. We operate watching the TV screen. It requires lots of hands and eye coordination.
Wonderful. It's a wonderful... How much is being done in minimally invasive surgery in this country and in this region?
This is new. This is a brand new area in spine surgery. Actually, compared to other countries like South Korea or Germany, at the U.S. in a group, we are lags behind a little bit in terms of the minimally invasive spine surgeries because of our regulations. However, it has been developing very quickly in the U.S. We have a society called the Society for Minimally Invasive Spine Surgery. Now there are over 600 surgeons belong to this society. And New York State, I'm one of them, and we are 9 surgeons performing minimally invasive spine surgery belong to this society.
Let me get that straight. 9 surgeons belong to it, but you're a surgeon.
Yeah. Nine surgeons. In the New York State.
I get it. Well, yeah. Okay, that's very few. Let's go to Nancy in Walden. Okay, Nancy, you're on.
Hello?
Hey, Nancy, you're on.
Hi. You said call if you wanted to have a question about your back.
You
so
bet.
Here we go. I'm 55 years old. I've been pretty active my whole life. I did Zumba for the past 4 years, which is high impact, and yoga. And then I started lifting weights, and I got to a point where I couldn't even walk. It was very painful to walk, and they said it was my lower back, but it presented itself in the top of my left leg. And so I've rested. I haven't done anything but yoga for the past 6 months, and I want to go back to Zumba. And I wonder if, I don't know, when I did lifting weights, I don't know if I used the machines wrong or what, but I feel like in the 6 months that I've stopped working out has aged me much more than 6 months. So I need to go back to something.
Okay, let's get an answer for you, Nancy.
Nancy, first of all, Happy New Year. And from your story, without seeing you or examining you, but from my experience, most likely, you probably, during your lifting, or you have a disc protrusion and mm-hmm. on your lumbar spine that there's have some nerve compression. That's why you're having some leg pain.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of this condition do not need surgery. It can be treated with physical therapy or something called epidural steroid injection. And I'll be happy to look at your MRI and at a later date and give you recommendation and suggestions.
Have you had an MRI, Nancy?
I have not. I had X-rays, but I did not have an MRI.
I would recommend you have a lumbar spine MRI done. Look at your lumbar disc.
Now, has the condition gotten any better, Nancy, now that you've been resting?
Yes. But yesterday, cross country skiing, I could feel it again in my left leg. So, but I mean, I had gotten to the point where I had no pain at all.
Okay, now how do people get in touch with you, doctor?
My office phone number is 518-842-2663.
2663?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy.
Got it.
Appreciate it.
Very much.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to Bill in New Rochelle. Is that right? You're in New Rochelle, Bill?
Well, I'm passing through, Alan, but okay. I do listen to you on Bill O'Shaughnessy's WVOX.
Indeed.
I always enjoy it, and it's a pleasure to speak to you in person. My question for the doctor is, I have occasional shooting pains of sciatic. What can I do to prevent myself from needing to ever have surgery?
Bill, do you have an MRI?
No.
Okay. And when you say sciatic pain, which side? That's left or right?
On the left.
And how frequent do you have this kind of symptoms?
I'd say less than once a month, but I know what it is when I get it.
Uh-huh.
That's why I said it's very occasional.
Bill, how can you tell us your age?
I'm 63.
What kind of work you do?
I do telephone work.
Okay.
Connecting wires, crawling, going up ladders. I do central office work.
All right. From the information you give me, very likely you have disc degeneration associated with your lumbar spine, and you have bone spurs associated with the degeneration, and you have positional nerve compression, because sometimes your sciatic nerve can hit a bone spur and give you this kind of symptom. One exercise you can do to prevent it from happening more frequently in spine field called core strengthening. You do an exercise and to strengthen your spinal muscle around your spine and to give you your spine more stability, so you reduce the chance of have this nerve hitting a bone spur.
Right, and now I get the pain at my lower spine. Is that where I would concentrate my exercise or some other place?
The exercise involved all the paraspinal muscles. You can do abdominal crunch and Superman, some exercise called the Superman, that you lay flat on the floor on your bed and get both your hands air, both your hands and feet in the air. That increases the strength of your back muscle.
Okay, I do know that one. They did that many years ago with the RCMP regimen.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That's my question. You answered it clearly.
And thank you, Bill. Appreciate your call.
And Alan, it's a real pleasure. Bye-bye.
And a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So if your name is Laurel or Ira or Rose, you stay right there. We'll be right back after just a few seconds.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. John Carpenter, providing dental implants for the replacement of missing or loose teeth. 845-658-4055. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. An American Meditation Institute, Avril Park, New York, offering meditation classes for beginners working to reduce stress and enhance their health. AmericanMeditation.org.
I told you all five phones would be ringing, and they are. Let's go to Laurel in Rosendale. Okay, Laurel, your turn.
Hello?
Hello, Laurel, your turn.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Could you spell his name, Dr. Shen?
S-H-E-N.
Oh, terrific. My question is literally for a good friend of mine who has spinal stenosis and has consulted surgeons and was told it was operable or not, depending on how she wanted to go with it. And I'd like to ask Dr. Shen if he feels that spinal stenosis is something that would require surgery to properly prevent its progression, and if minimally invasive surgery is an option for this condition, if it is a surgical, if someone is deemed to be a surgical candidate.
Laurel, thank you for the question. I dedicated my spine practice exclusively to minimally invasive spine surgery to treat common spine conditions that's causing neck, back pain. And one most common condition is spinal stenosis. The answer is definitely yes.
What is spinal stenosis, doctor?
Spinal stenosis is a diagnosis including different conditions, most caused by disc degeneration and bone spurs, soft tissue hypertrophy, which is multiplying soft tissue, that's causing compression on the neural element. The most common symptom is low back pain and leg pain, difficulty walking. It's very common associated with aging. The similar process happens in the neck, also cause cervical spinal stenosis.
What's the oldest patient you've operated on?
96 years old.
No kidding. Okay, so proceeding on with a very good question from Laurel. She has this pain. What should she do about it?
Laurel, I'll be happy to look at your friend at MRI and come up with a plan. Actually, the most important part of the spine is not the tool we use. It is the decision-making to come up with what's the best surgery for each individual patient. For spinal stenosis, I use different endoscopic surgery that address the elements that are causing nerve compression, including disc, bone spurs, soft tissue hypertrophy. Majority of the patient go home the same day from recovery room with a very small incision, anywhere from 1 inch to about 1/3 of an inch incision with no soft tissue disruption. And they can have very quick recovery and go back to their regular life very quickly.
Laurel, we're going to give you that phone number one more time. Go ahead, doctor.
My office phone is 518-842-2663.
Laurel, right. thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, as I told you all, every phone would be busy. Every phone is busy. Let's go to Ira in White Lake. Okay, Ira, you're on.
Hello, how are you doing today?
We're good.
So this is what happened, and this was quite a few years ago. I was helping people lift actually take a boiler out of a basement, and halfway up the steps, something snapped in the back, in my lower back, and I was like right then, I had to stop. That was a Friday. So Saturday and the Sunday, I laid in bed. I couldn't hardly move. And it felt, I guess, the left side is your sciatic nerve. Right down to my feet, I had this terrible, terrible pain. Then I went to my chiropractor, hoping that she could adjust it and you know, help me. So I went to the chiropractor, and finally she said, you know, you need to go to a real doctor. And unfortunately, I haven't, because I've been scared to death that they're going to tell me I need back surgery. And, you know, I don't want to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. But I can tell you, I drive a truck. And driving the truck, I'm fine. If I go to sit in a movie theater for an hour or two, when I get up, I can't even straighten up. It hurts so bad.
Ira, the symptom you describe as is consistent with a lumbar disc protrusion that's causing nerve compression of your sciatic nerve, and
right.
Sounds like you have been getting better than when you originally had it, right?
Well, yeah, but like today is fine. If I go around and I lift something heavy, like I was helping my sister move some furniture. The next week and a half, I was bent over because it hurt so bad I couldn't straighten my back. You know, and after a while, it starts to feel better. It's just when it does hurt, it, you know, I if somebody had a gun, they'd put me out of my misery.
Hey, so, George. Hey, Ira, let me just say this. I'm not a, you know, medical man, but don't help your sister move surgery anymore, move, you know, the stuff anymore.
I hear you. But, you know, I'm wondering, should I go get an MRI again?
Yes, Ira, I would recommend you get an MRI, look at your lumbar spine.
The problem is, like I said, this happened years ago. Is it going to be something that I damaged that's already starting to heal, but healing incorrectly?
I would not call it healed incorrectly. Your body has a mechanism to deal with acute disc herniation or protrusion. Over time, majority of patients get better. But what's your current condition exactly look like? I think an MRI would be give us lots of information on that.
Okay, so I can go to my hospital, get an MRI, and then I'll get it. I'll call your office, and we can email it up to you.
Right. I'll be happy to look at it. And
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ira. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much.
Right, bye. Let's go to Rose in Springfield. Is it Rose Marie in Springfield?
It is. Good afternoon.
Hey.
I was wondering if Dr. Shen would recommend a second back surgery. As others have said, I have spinal stenosis. In 1988, I was diagnosed with a herniated disc in deteriorated facet joints at L5 and S1. Mm-hmm. And in 2010, I had decompression and instrumented fusion on my spine at L4. But I find that the bent over pain accommodating stature occurs. And if there's something that can be done at the L5, S1 area,
The answer is yes. I perform very routinely on revision spine surgeries with minimally invasive technique. Spinal fusion traditionally been done with open surgery. It's a common tool to stabilize the spine for severe stenosis or other instability. However, it comes with its problem. The spinal fusion, the complication rate is approximately 4%. And there is another complication called adjacent segment degeneration, which is the segment above or below your fusion that can deteriorate. The official study, which is by Dr. Hillebrand, shown that about 25% in 10 years. So it is very common for a patient to have problem after a spinal fusion that I perform routinely about revision surgery with minimally invasive tools. We use endoscope to take care of the scar tissue build up or take care of the adjacent segment degenerated. That is part of my routine practice.
I had read about the adjacent segment issue, and I did ask the surgeon, the orthopedic surgeon, about it beforehand. And again, it was all it was a bet of did I want to continue the way I was or try surgery, which I did go through, as I said, 2 years ago. So I'm happy to see to hear that there is a chance to improve what already exists. And I wish you both a happy New Year.
And happy New Year to you, Rosemary. It's great to hear great to hear from Springfield. We always love to hear from Springfield. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Marty in Dalton, Massachusetts. Okay, Marty, you're on.
Hi, doctor. I have an injury several years ago when I was lifting a patient and twisting.
Marty, I'm so sorry to interrupt. We're having trouble hearing you. Are you close enough to the phone? Are you speaking loud enough? But whatever it is, we're having a bit of trouble. So whatever you can do, it'll be great, okay?
Okay, I'll try turning off the speaker.
Oh, much better, much better. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I injured myself lifting a patient 4 or 5 years ago in the thoracic area, and I popped a disc. The MRIs showed, but the doctors here had said that they would not operate because in that area they have to come in from the front through the lungs. Is there something in your kind of surgery that you could do differently?
The answer is yes, and as of last year, first of all, thoracic disc herniation is not very common compared to lumbar or cervical. The reason is you have ribs strut against the spine, make it more stable. But that being said, for thoracic disc herniation that's compressing the spinal cord or causing significant nerve compression, that patient needs surgery. Over the last year, I did 3 thoracic disc herniation surgeries. None of them will involve cutting the chest, go through the lung. I perform really minimally invasive surgeries, less than 1-inch incision with microscope, and take care of the disc herniation. I have a young lady, she's 35 years old. She's a works comp patient. After the thoracic disc herniation surgery, she actually went back to work full duty in less than a week.
Well, I can work as long as I don't bend over. That's the problem. If I never had to bend over, it wouldn't bother me that much. But like nursing or something is definitely a problem.
Right. I'll be happy to look at your MRI. The chances are your disc has gotten smaller and sounds like you're getting better. But to know the exact status of that disc, I'll be happy to look at it.
Thank you, Doctor.
Marty, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. We hope
bye-bye.
Things will help. 1-800-348-2551. One free phone because Marty hung up. And that's it. Karen from Copaic, one of my favorite towns in the whole world. Okay, Karen, you're on.
Hi, how are you, Alan?
Well, so far, so good. How are things in my favorite town?
Oh, they're awesome. I was actually calling today about my husband who has a heel spur, really bad. He's had cortisone injections. He has orthotics. Nothing is really helping at this point, and he's beginning to think about surgery, but I've heard a lot of bad things about that type of surgery. Can the doctor explain?
Hi, Karen. As a spine specialist, but I was trained in orthopedic surgery, and I have quite a few experience with heel spurs. Majority of heel spurs do not need surgery. But for very symptomatic patient like your husband, when the heel spur associates with plantar fasciitis, you try different conservative treatment, including shock therapy, injections. And he already had it. But for surgery to take care of heel spur, it's not as scary as you said. It is a common perform foot and ankle surgery. Involves just shaving off those heel spur. It is outpatient surgery. The complication rate is quite low.
Okay. So I thought it was a very long recovery.
Well, you are partially right on that. For heel spur surgery, they hurt a lot after surgery, and it take a while for patient to get back to normal routine life.
And does it kind of reoccur, or once you have the surgery, it's usually pretty good?
For heel spur, the recurrence rate is pretty low. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like I said from the beginning, most of heel spurs do not need surgery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can get around it. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Karen.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. Let's go to George in Catskill. Hi, George.
How are you? Doctor, chronologically, years ago I had herniated discs in the lumbar region, two of them actually, and I lived with it. And about 14 years ago, I was diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis, which was later revised in about the year 2000 or thereafter to DISH. And I forgive me for not knowing what that acronym stands for. And I just wonder, is there anything to deal with this ankylosing spondylitis-like disease, or now called DISH, and I've seen my MRIs, and it looks like my right from C1, C2, to the lumbar is grossly calcified and grown together, and it causes me constant pain.
Hey, George, the DISH you just said stands for diffuse idiopathic sclerosing hyperostosis. It is a condition similar to ankylosing spondylitis.
Yes, I was tested genetically, and I didn't have that K27 gene that causes ankylosing.
B27.
Forgive me.
B27. For most DISH patients, I do have experience treating, and we do look at each patient individually, look at each individual level. It is true for patients with DISH or ankylosing spondylitis, they have lots of bone spurs, but majority of them is not compressing spine or nerve. But we can look at each individually. We can address at each individual level with a minimally invasive spine surgery that make patient better.
Yeah, would this be each and every vertebrae, starting at your neck and going all the way down, or would it be intermittently? Or
it's all depends on
my condition. Yeah.
Symptom.
Isn't the word idiopathic always mean sort of we don't know?
That's exactly right. We just don't understand the process of this disease that we call idiopathic.
Yeah. Hey, George, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank you.
Your call.
Nice to hear both your voices.
Thanks, George. Bye. Let's go to Rachel in Saratoga Springs. Oops, I missed one. Okay, we'll go back to that one. Okay, Katie, I messed up here. All right, go ahead, Rachel. You're on.
Hi, Alan and Dr. Shen. Hope you're both doing well. I had a major spinal fusion when I was in eighth grade due to idiopathic scoliosis. I was curved over 70 degrees, and most of my thoracic spine is fused. I'm now 33, and basically I'm in constant pain. I have major disc degeneration in my cervical spine above my fusion, with one major disc herniation pressing on my cord, and then three other herniations. Some stenosis, arthritis, etc. I don't want to get more fusions at this point in my life because it's going to greatly limit my mobility as well as eventually cause the other herniations to worsen. I've also been in PT for over a year and really have had minimal results. So Dr. Chen, I was hoping you might talk about some recommendations on alternatives to fusion, such as disc replacement for a case like mine.
And could you start, Doctor, with a definition for our listeners of what fusion is?
A fusion is a common spine procedure is in a way to using biologics to weld the motion segment together. That's to treat Rachel just described, scoliosis,
mm-hmm.
or some condition called spondylolisthesis, which is the instability of the spine. It has been performed very commonly to treat the above conditions. Like I just discussed with a listener earlier, the problem with fusion, it is one problem is called adjacent segment degeneration. It's about 25% in 10 years. It sounds like you have disc herniation and degeneration above your fusion,
mm-hmm.
or you may have it below.
I have it above, yeah.
Right, above. Yes, being you are 33 years old, I would think hard to have another fusion done.
Right.
The other option would be minimally invasive decompression. We normally use endoscope or microscope with a small tube retractor without sacrificing any soft tissue to go directly to where the bone spur are or the disc being pressing the nerve. We make more room for the nerve, and that's called minimally invasive decompression surgery. Another option, like you just mentioned, is disc replacement.
Mm-hmm.
It is a newer technique. It's similar motion-preserving technique without a fusion.
Right. And do you actually perform the disc replacement surgery?
I do. It is a new procedure, but for the last year, I have done four neck disc replacement in the neck.
What do you put in for the old disc?
We took out the old disc, and we put in artificial discs. They're made of two titanium plate with a polyethylene insert. Intuitively, it's look like a small knee replacement, but it is for the cervical disc.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, Rachel, we're going to talk to you about Dr. Chen, Mohawk Valley Orthopedics in Johnstown, New York, and Nathan Litauer Hospital. And we're going to give you that telephone number once again. Go ahead.
My office phone is 518-842-2663.
2663.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you,
Chen.
Rachel.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, let's go to John in... Oh, I have to take a break. I'm sorry. John, you stay right there, and we'll be right with you, okay? We have to take a short break, okay?
Okay. Did you say John in Troy?
Yeah, isn't that you?
Yes, that's me.
Okay.
Support for WAMC comes from Wynwood of Niskayuna, offering short-term holiday respite with specialized care. Special services available, 518-346-6935. Boyden & Perron, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerron.com. And Hudson Valley Heart Center, providing cardiovascular care throughout the Hudson Valley with services including nuclear, echo, CT angio, and vascular testing to help evaluate cardiovascular wellness. HVHeartCenter.com.
And we are back with Dr. Chen. A lot of calls. Phones have been ringing off the hook, as I knew they would be. Let's go to John and Troy. As promised, John and Troy, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
We're good. Go.
Good. Good. I know you're busy, but I came in late in the program, and I heard the doctor talking about stenosis, which is something I was recently diagnosed with. I have pains in my legs sometimes to the point where I can't walk more than a couple of blocks at a time, which is really it's not, it doesn't make for a very good life, lifestyle. I have an appointment with the neurosurgeon coming up in a couple of weeks. I was wondering if I heard the doctor talking something about a minimally invasive surgery. I was wondering if he could briefly go over that again.
Okay, we've been talking about it all day. John, we're going to do it real fast, if it's okay with you. Go ahead, doctor.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Hey, John, the spinal stenosis, what you just described, is very common condition. The symptom you described, we call it claudication, which is you cannot walk for too far because of the nerve being compressed in the lumbar spine. For a majority of spinal stenosis, treatment can be chiropractor, physical therapy, or epidural steroid injection. For the spinal stenosis...
Yeah, I had the steroid injections. Pardon me for interrupting, but I had three injections of cortisone, mm-hmm. and the first one was great. The second one, not so much, and the third one was... They really put cortisone in there, if you know what I mean, decreasing effectiveness.
What you said is correct, because over time, your body gets used to it, because the spinal stenosis is still there, nothing changed. The injection, the cortisone, makes the nerve feel better, but over time, the effect wears out. For mm-hmm. for you, we would look at the MRI and offer... minimally invasive spine surgery for spinal stenosis is a common surgery I perform on a daily basis. I normally do decompression surgery with minimally invasive technique. On Fridays, I can treat 5 or 6 patients, and the majority of them are outpatient basis.
Yes, but I was concerned. I am concerned about the recovery period, because while I have some time at work, I still have to pay bills. So I've been told somewhere between 2 to 6 weeks, and I heard you earlier saying something like 1 or 2 days, if I heard you correctly.
Yes, to fully recover from any surgery which requires general anesthesia, it takes weeks. But majority of my patients, they can start driving the next day. They can walk around as much as they can the same day, and with little restrictions. So each person's individual is different, but you are right. A fully recover from a general anesthesia from any surgery, it takes several weeks.
Okay, but I'd be able to go back to work fairly soon, as it sounds like you're saying. Also, I'm wondering if this would be complicated by the fact I'm diabetic and I have mild neuropathy.
Diabetes is very common, and we take that into consideration when we do surgery. I do not think it will add any more complication to any minimally invasive spine surgery. I perform routinely on a patient with diabetes or some other medical problems.
Well, okay, thank you, doctor.
Thank you, John.
I realize you've been talking about this several times. Well, I appreciate you taking the time for me.
Sure, you're welcome. John. Happy New Year.
Good that we did it. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Monica in Woodstock. Monica in Woodstock, you're on.
Hi, Alan and doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I don't have an injury, but over the last few months, my hip joint seems to have gotten like a sharp pain, and I'm wondering if that's like the psoas muscle, or basically if I'm lying on my back, I can't throw my knee out to the right without a sharp pain. And I'm wondering if that's a symptom of something more, or if something could be a spinal injury of some sort. I don't know. It just seems very peculiar.
Uh-huh. Monica, before we proceed, I just want to do this because I think it's very important that we all know it. Nobody can really diagnose over the telephone.
Right, of course.
You know, and I just say that because I don't want anybody saying later on, you said, you know, that kind of thing. But with that said, Dr. Shen.
Understood.
Yeah, Monica, and there are different reasons than causing the symptom you just described, the
yes.
hip problem. You start seeing your family doctor, get a X-ray of your pelvis or hip, and if your symptoms suggest, he might he or she might get a X-ray of your spine. But from my from what you just described, the sharp pain, there's for how old are you, Monica?
I'm 47.
Yeah, for a young female like you, another common cause of the pain that you described, the hip pain, is something called a labral tear, which is a small cartilage that lining your hip joint, and you have a tear in those small cartilage tissue. It can give you this kind of symptom. But you start with seeing your family doctor, and I won't be surprised. You will find out exactly what's going on very quickly.
And if it's a hip tear, will that heal over time by itself?
It won't heal, unfortunately, but majority of patients become asymptomatic.
Right. Okay.
Which you do not need surgery for.
Okay, understood. Well, thank you so much for your time.
And Monica, thank you for calling. Appreciate
thank you, Alan. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's go to Dave in Pittsfield. Okay, Dave. Dave in Pittsfield. You're
on. Hello, Dr. Shen. I've had ruptured disc four times over a 12-year period, three times in my low back and once in my neck area. And I had surgery in 78 for the low back. And then in 81, it re-ruptured more disc. And 87, my neck, and then 90 in my low back again. And this past year, I'm always in some sort of pain. My right foot's numb, and I have sciatica, quite severe. And this past year, four or maybe five times, it got so bad, the pain was so sharp, that I ended up on the ground on my hands and knees, unable to move for a while. So what do you recommend for something like that?
Dave, look, sounds like you have three or four discectomy surgeries over the years. For patient after discectomy surgery, the disc herniation re-rupture rate from the same level that they had surgery on is anywhere between 7 to 17% from different studies. Was your disc herniation always the same level or different level?
Well, I only had one surgery, and that was in 78, and that was in the L4-5 gent area. And the discs that I re-ruptured were in the same area, down low, except for the time I injured my neck.
Mm-hmm. It is very likely that you have a recurrent disc herniation at the same area, because after disc herniation, the annulus, which is a soft tissue surrounding the disc, has weakness, regardless you have surgery or not. So that's predisposed you to have a recurrent disc herniation. What I recommend is to get a new up-to-date MRI of your lumbar spine and look at that disc.
Okay, very good.
Dave, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Shen. Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome. Bye. Happy New Year.
Yep. Let's go to Gene in Albany. Gene, you're on.
Yeah, my father-in-law has spinal stenosis, which in his case is, I think it's the spine, I guess, is growing or the filling in and pinching on his nerves. And so far, he's okay. He's mobile, a little bit dizzy sometimes. But the doctors said that he couldn't, if he had surgery, he couldn't get better, but he could stay where he is, or he could just take a chance and wait for something to happen and get worse, I guess. Is that, I'm not sure what minimally invasive surgery would have to offer that would be better than that.
Gene, I'll be happy to look at your father-in-law's MRI or see him and talk about different treatment options. The one advantage of minimally invasive spine surgery, especially for patients with medical problems or senior in age, is a quick recovery and soft tissue preservation. And for a patient like your father-in-law, minimally invasive surgery has an advantage. Spine surgery can scare lots of people away. It's always involved lots of bleeding and intensive care unit stay. But that's traditional spine surgery. For minimally invasive spine surgery, the blood loss is little. And for the last year and a half that I have been doing minimally invasive spine, I have not transfused any patient. None of my patients require ICU stay.
All right. So his particular condition, where the the bone is growing inward and pinching the nerves, that's a good candidate for that kind of thing. Is a good candidate for minimally invasive surgery.
Yes, that's a very common condition that's called facet joint hypertrophy, which is your bone growing inward toward the spinal canal, causing nerve impingement.
Okay. What's your first name? I missed that part of the show. Sorry.
Jian, J-I-A-N.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jian. Appreciate your call.
What was the phone number again?
Go ahead.
The phone number is 518-842-2663.
Thank you, Jian.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Judy in Valencia. Hello, Judy. And I know the question you're going to ask, and I'm all for it. Go ahead.
All right, it's going to be very quick. Hi, doctor. I got myself one of those inversion tables.
Me too. I got two, sis.
Well, I'm taking up my entire living room. It's really pathetic. Anyway, I wanted to ask you what your opinion is of these things and if you think they help. I have sort of vague, I haven't had an MRI, but I've had an X-ray, and I have the usual aging kind of compression things in the back. And I usually get along fine with, an ibuprofen or something, but I do feel that I should be doing some kind of therapy. And I wondered what you thought of the table.
Inversion table.
Let's explain to people what it is. It's a sort of a thing. It's a chair you get on, and you push yourself backwards, and you're basically standing anywhere from two-thirds to on your head.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Let's go back to spinal stenosis. It's caused by disc collapse and another condition called the ligamentum flavum hypertrophy. It is a soft tissue in the back of your spinal canal that over time it's folded in like a rubber band. Mm-hmm. That's called ligamentum flavum hypertrophy. It is one of the three most common reasons for lumbar spinal stenosis. Mm-hmm. With that being said, inversion table does work because of the gravity and stretching of your spine. It does put some traction on the ligamentum flavum or on the collapsed disc. It does give patient relief. So I do recommend it. If it does work for you, you can keep doing it. I do not think you're going to damage your spine by using inversion table. However, I do not think it's a cure, because anytime you get off the table, you stand up or sitting, your gravity works again and make the infolding or the disc collapse starts again.
Mm-hmm. So basically what you're saying is we really should spend our lives lying upside down if we want to feel better. I'm only kidding. but how long do you think one should be on it? I mean, like daily for 15 minutes or 5 minutes at a time, or what do you recommend?
I'm not
expert
in exactly how many minutes you should stay, but when you do the inversion table, you have blood pooling to your head, to your brain, that can cause dizziness or headache. So you have to think about that too. So when you use a table, you can use daily, but not for too long.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, sis, we'll talk about this at the Bach tonight, okay?
Good. Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Doctor, bye.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. We really don't have any more time, so I'll ask you a question, doctor, if I may. And that is, how come, if this is as successful as it is, do we see its slow adoption around the country?
I do. It is more and more surgeons are picking up the minimally invasive spine surgery technique. One problem with this minimally invasive spine surgery, it's a very steep learning curve. And for a surgeon,
once you know it, you stick with what you know as opposed to something new.
Yes. But once you perform minimally invasive spine surgery, you see better result, quicker recovery, you do not want to go back.
Right, right. Well, have you done the old way too?
Yes. Throughout my training, I have done all different kind of open surgery. They do help me in terms of anatomy and surgical training. But over the course of my training, I always tell myself how I can perform this surgery minimally invasive without cutting muscle, with limited view, and give patient better result and quicker recovery. And so far, the result has been great.
So very quickly then, would you give us your phone number again?
Office phone is 518-842-2663, and Mohawk Valley Orthopedics. I do surgeries at Lince La Tour Hospital and St. Mary's Hospital.
Okay. So, and that is really just a half an hour ride from Albany. Is that right? In order to get there. We're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in, and it was a terrific program. And apologize to anybody who was thinking about doing it but didn't. I'd also like to thank Dr. Zhan Chen for joining us today. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. Health-quest.org for locations. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update. I know we're all waiting to hear whether we're going over the cliff or not.